probably the most important slide, with the next following shortly. And what we did was look at clinical and demographic predictors of quality of life over that time period, in which along the y-axis you see the QOL domains that I've highlighted. I'll just talk you through global QL, role functioning, fatigue, pain, breast, arm symptoms, body image, anxiety and depression, and along the x-axis are predictors that potentially we needed to correct for. That is, the type of surgery, whether or not RT was given, chemotherapy, age, the time since surgery, and importantly, something we tend to go on about a lot, baseline quality of life. Having adjusted for those variables, what we noted is with the red boxes showing significant worsening of that domain over the time period in question, over 3 to 12 months, compared to the blue boxes where the domain was significantly better. We noted that the type of surgery showed no impact on any of these domains over the time period in question, and nor did radiation therapy. Now, obviously, this has to be interrogated over time, and importantly, will then be extended to 24 months and 5 years. But what we see, and is very underreported in the literature, is that chemotherapy effects persisted right up until 12 months with a significant diminution in global quality of life, role functioning, fatigue, and depression. That, in fact, older women had less body image concerns and less anxiety. That for all the domains, there was an improvement over time. And that if you had a better baseline QOL, predictably that was going to produce a better global QL at 12 months. Notably, that is a small component of the questionnaire, and we can certainly have discussions about the discriminatory ability of what we have used. But if you started off with a poor baseline breast, arm symptoms, body image and depression, that was likely to predict and extend up to the 12 months. I think highlighting the importance of correcting the data over serial longitudinal analyses